Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning are two of the partners, owners. I'm not really sure what your guys' titles are, but I've got Todd Pettit and Brian Johnson of Denali Meat Company. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Amy. Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah, great.
Good morning.
Before we jump into your business and answer all those questions, I want to remind folks that Alaska Farmland Trust is at the State Fair for the next 5 days, and we've got an incredible raffle going on. Grand prize for that raffle is 30 pounds of bison meat. Second prize is a year's worth of potatoes, and third prize is an all-Alaska-grown gift basket. Tickets are 1 for $10 or 3 for $25. We only printed 1,000 tickets, and they're moving fast over at the fair booth, so be sure and stop by and get one before the fair is over. You don't have to be present to win. We'll draw the winning ticket last day of the fair on Monday at 6 p.m. Everybody wants to know where the bison comes from. It comes from this gentleman right here to my right, Todd Pettit. And everyone also wants to know, what does a year's worth of potatoes mean? And it's whatever it means to your family. If that's 5 pounds of potatoes a week, 40 pounds a month, 200 pounds multiple times a year, the Vanderweels have been incredibly generous, and they will feed your family potatoes for a year. So get over to the Farmland Trust booth and get a ticket before the fair is over. Second brief Farmland Trust announcement. Sorry, guys. We have a Drink Beer Save Farms party Friday night, this coming Friday, two nights from tonight. The Super Saturated Sugar Strings are playing music for us in the special events tent outside the livestock barn. Doors open at 7, band starts at 8, and $1 from every beer bought during the concert will be donated to Alaska Farmland Trust. So we're super excited about that, looking forward to it, and I hear tickets for that are moving fast. It is limited capacity, so if you want to join us Friday night, get on the State Fair website and get your ticket before it's too late. Okay, there we go. Amy's all done with her announcements. Your guys' turn. Go. Just kidding. Todd, you've been on the show before representing Pitchfork Ranch, but Brian, you've never been with us, so I'm going to start with you. Tell us how you got to Alaska and your connection to Alaska agriculture. How did you get here?
Well, I grew up here in Alaska.
Okay.
My parents moved to Alaska when I was, I think, probably 5 years old.
Okay.
I've been here since. As far as agriculture goes, I started off growing up, we had animals growing up, just basically horses, mules. My dad raised mules, so I grew up around those type of animals.
Yeah.
And he had a background in ranching.
Okay.
Down in Idaho, Oklahoma, Kansas. And then from me farming up here, I started hay farming when I was 15 years old.
Okay.
Fell in love with it. Fell in love with hay farming.
I don't hear that very often.
It's crazy. It's actually a disease.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I farmed hay here with a local farmer for close to 20 years and dabbled in raising livestock. And
Yeah. Did you grow up thinking that you always wanted to be a farmer of some sort or have your hands in it in some way?
No, you know, I never did. And my parents have both said, I don't know, my sister and I both ended up in the agriculture industry.
Okay.
And my parents are like, we have no idea where you get that from.
Okay.
You know, we just both fell in love with it for some reason.
Yeah.
And can't get away from it.
Right. Very so. Good. And Todd, give us your brief summary on how your connection to Alaska. Listeners may have heard before, but let's remind folks of your connection to Alaska, how you got here, and your connection to agriculture.
Oh, well, I was born here. My grandparents came up in about 1947 and carved out a place up on Lazy Mountain. And so my family has always farmed.
Yeah.
As far as immediately. And I could never get away from it either.
Right.
At a very young age, as soon as I was allowed to follow my granddad around, that's what I was doing in the summertime. And it just got under my skin and in my blood, and got old enough to where I had to make a decision on what I wanted to do with my life. And
what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, right. I'm still kind of wondering that. But the farm was pretty much an easy choice to make.
Yeah.
And so I've been Farming as a business for roughly 25, 26 years.
Yeah.
And moved in from, always been making hay, and it's always been the cash crop. Had cattle growing up, beef cattle, and decided we got rid of beef cattle and wanted another challenge, and got into some other livestock, some bison and some elk, and been playing with them ever since. Yeah. 98, I think, is when I got the first ones.
I'm not good at math, but that's like 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so now you guys have formed this, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong or give us the details, but you formed this partnership to create Denali Meat Company. So yeah. What is it, and who are you guys in terms of that business? What are your roles with Denali Meat Company?
Well, we went into it as a partnership.
Okay.
There was a lot of uncertainty with what was going to happen with the Mount McKinley Meats. Sure. At the time.
Yep.
And we pursued that a little bit. We wanted to see it go into private industry.
Yep.
Decided it wasn't for us, and decided that we still wanted to maintain our LLC and move forward with something else.
Okay.
So I think Brian got in touch with Trivan down in Washington, and we started looking at what it would cost or what we could do to get a cold weather mobile unit.
Okay.
Built. And from there, I'll let Brian take over a little bit.
Yeah, and so a little bit more of my history too was I ran the only local mobile slaughter unit. It was a custom exempt slaughter unit. So I ran that here locally for a good 15 years that I had that truck. I still actually have it, not running it anymore. We ran it solid for about a dozen years. And so I was familiar with the custom exempt slaughter.
Sure.
And then, of course, like Todd talked about, we had this partnership that we formed. I was familiar with these mobile slaughter units that they could run under USDA inspection.
Right.
Year-round. And so, yeah, we started doing a little bit of research on that, figured out what it would cost us, and moved forward with that direction, figuring, well, we could provide a service not only for ourselves, we had the partners and trying to service what the partners needed, but also being able to help the public out a little bit on that also.
Yeah. So you're a group of livestock producers who, you know, like you said, you pursued the perhaps buying Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage. When that didn't happen, you launched your own mobile slaughter facility. So let's timeline this out. When did you kill your first animal in the Denali Meat Company slaughter facility?
Under USDA certification?
Well, let's start before that. Before you had your USDA and you ran your first animal through, how long has that been?
Yeah, so last fall, actually right around fair time, right about this time,
okay.
When the 4-H animals were kind of wrapping up there at the end of the fair, I slaughtered some with this unit. We brought it up and had anticipations of being able to have it running under inspection last summer. Through a lot of dead ends that we hit.
Yeah.
We ended up not hitting that mark, but I went ahead and ran it custom exempt.
Sure.
Like I'd run my other truck last fall.
Yep.
So that was the actual first time that we used it, which was a pretty exciting moment.
Yeah.
But of course, not what we were looking for. You know, the plan was to have a USDA slaughter plant.
Yep.
So a lot of work moving forward, a lot of paperwork, a lot of dealing with the government and trying to figure out what it takes to actually do this and make it happen.
Yeah.
We slaughtered our first animals under inspection sometime about mid-June.
Okay.
Is when we actually slaughtered for the first time under inspection.
Okay. Very good. Well, quick interruption to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning are Brian Johnson and Todd Pettit with Denali Meat Company, and we're just starting to get into the details of what that is and what it means. And I want to pause for just a second for those listeners that might not understand the difference between custom exempt and USDA certification, and I'll give my version of what I think that is, and then you guys add to it or correct me. So custom exempt means I perhaps own my own animal and I want to have it slaughtered and eat it, you know, fill my own freezer. Custom exempt can provide that service. Now, if I'm a farmer and I have an animal and I want to sell it to somebody else, I cannot use the custom exempt process. My animal must be slaughtered at a USDA certified facility and have that inspection stamp, right? So is that kind of the short version of the difference between custom exempt and USDA certification or USDA slaughter?
That is correct.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So you started out as custom exempt, or because the paperwork didn't come through, I can only imagine what an enjoyable experience it was to get all that paperwork done to get your USDA stamp. But you've got it now, and you said June, so July, August, a couple months under your belt of killing animals under certification?
That is correct.
Or under inspection, yeah. I guess we should try and use the right words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a couple of months now. Basically, like I say, it's still, we've only been taking care of the partners. So one of our partners is a producer that produces hogs.
Okay.
He's been selling to Matt Valley Meat and Butcher Block Number 9 for a number of years and using the local Mount McKinley slaughter plant.
Okay.
And now we've shifted all that over to Denali Meat.
Okay.
So that's mainly what we've been doing. We've done a few barbecue pigs for some folks this year. But yeah, we haven't slaughtered any other USDA for anyone other than ourselves so far.
Oh, okay. And just hogs so far? Have you ran any beef or other animals through the plant?
Not under inspection, we haven't.
Okay. All right. And so let's paint a picture for folks. Let's describe to listeners, it's a mobile slaughter facility. What does that mean? It's not just a big building. It's not a brick and mortar operation like Mount McKinley is. Maybe people have seen pictures of that and have that in their mind. What does your facility look like?
So basically, if you were to just look at it from the outside, it would look just like a standard semi-trailer, 40-foot semi-trailer.
Okay.
It's built with a drop deck on it, so we have a high ceiling in there so that we have a room to hang animals, you know, as big as beef and buffalo inside that slaughter unit.
Okay.
It's a self-contained unit. So no matter where we take it, it's got its own power source, onboard generator, onboard water tank, on-demand hot water, and everything very cleanable on the inside.
Yeah.
So it's a self-contained unit. You can hook up to a semi, and we can take anywhere across the state, really, if we decided to. That's not really our goal or our mission.
Sure.
To be able to do that, we'd like to be able to keep it pretty much in one location and service our local community right here nearby.
Okay.
But certainly have the ability to take it elsewhere.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And on that note, then, with your USDA certification and the inspection that you're providing, does it allow you to take it anywhere within state boundaries? Can you cross the border with it? Can you go anywhere you want? Or what are the rules there?
You know, as far as taking it out of the state, I guess I can't answer that question for sure, but certainly anywhere's in the state that we wanted to go, we can take it. Sometimes there would be an added cost to that, and just being able to get an inspector, a government inspector on site with you, because anytime you're slaughtering under inspection, that inspector's there with you.
Right.
So there could be an added cost involved in that.
In getting the inspector out to a different kill site.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Before we forget, because the time goes by so fast, I want us to tell listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can find out more information, where they can learn more, et cetera. So do you have a website? You're working on it?
We're working on that. The main thing, I am a social media delinquent for sure, but my wife has done a great job setting up a Facebook page for us.
Okay.
So you can certainly find us on Facebook, Denali Meat Company. Cell phone number for Denali Meat Company, area code 907-841-5602.
Okay.
You can definitely leave a message there. Quite often I don't answer that phone. I don't keep it on me, but I certainly will return phone calls if you leave a message. It's important to leave a message.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So Denali Meat Company on Facebook. We linked to your guys' page in our promotion about the show, and we'll continue to do that. So pricing, et cetera, or are you even seeking customers right now? If a person wants an animal slaughtered, do you have time to fit them in? Are you looking for new customers, or are you just kind of status quo with where you're at?
Right at this point, status quo.
Okay. You've got plenty to kill.
The object and the idea is to be moving forward. It's just taking longer than what we thought.
Sure.
We don't have the facility where we want it at this point.
Okay.
And once we get it to where we want it, things will move along a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I think that within a couple of weeks, we could possibly start taking in some customers outside of our USDA inspected days that are committed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm certainly expecting. In fact, I actually received the first phone call today, say with the 4-H'ers and the state fair coming to a close, that we're going to start getting some phone calls. Like I say, I did get that first phone call today. So I definitely like to be able to help those people out, help the 4-H'ers and support that.
Yeah.
It is, like I say, it is our goal to take care of the partners firsthand. And we're trying to move this forward as quickly as possible to have the location set up so that we can have a really stellar operation and be running at 110% as we come into winter. But we've got a long road ahead of us yet, and winter's coming quick. So we're trying to not get too bogged down with trying to slaughter animals while we need to be working on getting our facility set up at its permanent location.
Right. And do you want to talk about the permanent location at all? Is that something you want to tell folks about where you're going to be, or is that to be determined and announced later?
Yeah, that's still to be determined and announced at a later time.
Okay, so. No worries. And but it does sound like that even though this is a mobile slaughter facility, it's a semi-trailer that could move around the state, it sounds like the intention of Denali Meat Company is to have a permanent location with the facility?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because eventually our HACCP plan will include or does include cut and wrap.
Okay.
And that is a service that we intend to provide along with the slaughtering. And to be able to have a place that is staged really is a necessity.
Yeah.
You know, people think mobile unit. They think, oh, I've got 4 pigs. Can you come over to my backyard?
Right.
Yeah, it's mobile, but it's not that kind of mobile.
Right.
And if we know, like, get a group of ranchers or whatever down on the Kenai Peninsula where we can fill a 2-week lot or even a week lot, you know, where we are constantly killing. That's when the mobile unit is a fantastic thing to be able to pick up and go.
Absolutely.
Go with. But I think staging it in one spot is the correct way to do it. And everything comes in stages, you know. And
go ahead.
Yeah, that's definitely been a question because I have run a mobile slaughter business in the past and people know what I've done and they're confused like, well, if you have this mobile slaughter unit, why can't you come out to my place?
Right.
Well, again, remember, it's a 40-foot semi-trailer and then you hook a tractor to that. It just takes up a lot of space.
Sure.
And then it costs a lot of money to run that too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it just isn't cost effective. The amount of money that we'd have to charge to go out and slaughter a single animal or a couple animals for one person, and then for you to have the space there, just logistically doesn't work that well.
Yeah, probably doesn't make sense for that many people. Well, another quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning are Brian Johnson and Todd Pettit of Denali Meat Company.
Ooh.
And we are talking about the logistics and the semi-not mobileness of your mobile slaughter facility, which I can completely understand. You know, down in my hometown where I grew up, there's a butcher shop called Busman's butcher shop, right? And they have kind of a combo situation where they have a brick and mortar, but then they have a mobile unit as well that goes out, does the kill, does the breakdown, and then takes it back to their own shop. So the future is wide open, right? Who knows what you guys might end up with someday.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about capacity, because I'm curious, at full capacity, how many animals could you run through the kill floor in a day? What could you guys do? Let's start with hogs. How many hogs could you do in a day?
So the trailer is actually sized for, you said we'll start with hogs, but the trailer was actually sized for to hold 14 beef at a time.
Oh, okay.
And I actually just got a count on that the other day. I filled one of the rails inside this trailer, and so I could hold 24 hogs in there at one time.
Okay.
Whether or not we'd actually be able to run through 24 hogs in a day, we're definitely working up to that, and I think that we can definitely see that in our future, to be able to fill that cooler to capacity in a day's time. But we also, with setting up in a permanent location like Todd is talking about, we want to do further processing. And so we have a couple other trailers lined up, one of them being a cooler trailer and one of them a freezer trailer, to be able to expand our capacity.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, that's a lot of animals, though. I mean, that's...
It'll hold a lot of animals, yeah.
Yeah. And you guys aren't just partners in the business. It's, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are the hands on the ground, the ones doing the butchering and things right now, right? You guys are...
100% Brian.
Okay.
Todd.
That's not entirely
Todd
true.
Todd shows up and tries not to hurt himself.
Up when he doesn't, hurt himself.
Okay. All right. And then just to be clear for folks that don't know about it, the inspector, what is their role? Are they just overseeing, making sure that you're doing things by the book, Brian, or what is the role of that USDA inspector?
That's mainly their goal. So we have a HACCP plan.
Pause right there. Let's just tell people, because you've mentioned it twice now, and people might go, what is this HACCP plan they're talking about? So you don't have to give the full version because it's a pretty complicated document. I know that. But what is your HACCP plan?
So basically, that's a document that we provide to the government that says how we are going to handle the animals from the time that they show up at our location. Everything from the road and the driveway coming in there, that it's safe for the people coming in, that everything about the animals are going to be handled safely and humanely.
Yeah.
And then the food safety aspect of it also.
Sure.
So there's a lot of stuff that we put into place as to how we handle the animals, the cleanliness, as to personal attire, all the tools that we use, the facility around it. That all falls in our HACCP plan. So they are going through that with a fine-tooth comb, making sure that we are adhering to the rules that we wrote for ourselves, right?
Right, yeah.
So that's what they're for. And then, of course, they're going to put a final inspection after we've put a final inspection on that carcass after it's hanging in that trailer, make sure that we've met all the food safety standards.
Okay.
And at that point, then they're like, okay, you can go ahead and put your stamp on it.
Okay. So the inspector, so everything has to follow the plan, just like anything that I'd say the government has their hands involved with. There's a plan. It's a written plan. It's, like you said, a fine-tooth comb. They went through that thing sentence by sentence and make sure that you're adhering to that plan, which provides some level of comfort and assurance to your buyers and the people that are buying the meat, right, that they know that you are meeting this standard that's been set by the government. And then the inspector is there to witness. How much of the slaughter does the inspector actually see? Are they there anytime you're killing an animal? Is it every fifth animal, or what's the parameters there?
Yeah, so they're on site the entire time. We've got an inspector there with us 8 hours a day, and they can basically pop in at any point that they want during that 8 hours. Not that they're necessarily watching every move that we make, but they certainly step in frequently and watch every process that's going on. Like I say, from the humane handling of that animal when it's live till the time it finally gets pushed into the cooler. At any point, they're there and watching that operation.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay. So, it's exciting that you guys are, that this facility is open, that Denali Meat Company is, up and functioning and soon perhaps to be taking more customers and finding a permanent location. I mean, wasn't that long ago, we've all been part of this industry for a while, that there was a threat of no slaughter facility in this valley, right? And now folks have two options, right? I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think it's indicative of the industry as a whole and the livestock industry as a whole, that things are growing and becoming more stable. And I'm excited for you guys and excited that you're here. Put on your magic glasses for a minute and talk to me about your vision. Talk to me about 5 years from now. What do you want Denali Meat Company to look like? Well, Todd, we'll start with you.
I envision us being a full service facility.
Okay.
From live to death to package to freezer.
Okay.
And we have the capability with our stamps that we can do all amenable species, and we can also do non-amenable, which means something like your bison, your elk, your yak, elk.
Muskox.
Yeah. So we will be in the position to where we can do just about any animal you throw at us that you want to eat.
Okay.
And be able to put a stamp on that.
Okay.
And
you mentioned that you want to be able to, or your part of your plan is to provide cut and wrap service. What about beyond that? Are you going to do any cured meats, any smoked meats, anything? How far out are you going?
Well, I think that one of our partners is Nate Burris. He owns Matt Valley Meats in Butcher Block Number 9.
Yep.
That is his expertise.
Absolutely.
For certain. world-class charcuterie.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's huge having him as a partner.
Yeah.
Because we do have that ability. Whether we have a storefront or we sell where we're butchering, those options are put out there.
Yeah, good.
That we can sell a world-class piece of meat.
Yeah.
And it be Alaskan growing from start to finish.
Yeah.
I mean, that is our goal, too, is we want to see the industry grow within this state with Alaska-born animals.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate you pointing out the difference, Alaska-born versus Alaska-grown.
Right. Yeah. And that is, to be able to offer this facility, that gives a lot more people a lot more reason to raise an animal from birth.
Absolutely.
And so I think with this, once we are up and going full time, that we will be able to provide that service that is going to increase people that can raise animals to raise more animals.
Perfect. Brian, what didn't Todd say that you haven't part of your vision for the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think just to tag on to what Todd was saying about getting more local producers here. I mean, that's been our vision for everybody, not only for the benefit of Denali Meat, but also for every producer. We're fighting out there for every producer that has been struggling for 20 years to raise animals here in Alaska and dealing with the constant threat with new legislation of the slaughter plant getting shut down. And it's hard to step out there and raise animals not knowing whether or not there's going to be a slaughter plant around.
Absolutely.
So with us being in business, like, I think there's a little more security because we're not only doing it for ourselves, but we want to provide that service for others.
Yeah.
And if they don't have a market for being able to get their animals out there that they've worked hard to raise and produce, that we would be able to provide an outlet either through wholesale accounts or through what we're personally doing to be able to market that to the public.
Yeah. Well, again, it's exciting, and I'm glad that folks have multiple options. I think that, you know, from the perspective of another member of the agriculture community, competition is good for everyone, and it makes the industry, you know, it just provides that additional support and that, you know, that level of security for folks that they got two options now, or soon there'll be two options for getting your animals slaughtered and two options for the 4-H kids and, you know, two options. I mean, it's just a good thing. A couple weeks ago, I had Scott Mugridge on the show, and he was talking about the number of animals that he fed out last winter, and it was really impressive, you know, and almost all those animals are coming down here to be slaughtered, right? Come into our South Central market, and I think it speaks to the demand and the increased interest on the consumer level, you know, and the producer side of things. So three cheers. Reminder to folks, Denali Meat Company on Facebook. Brian, give that phone number one more time.
Area code 907-841-5602.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me this morning on Ag Matters Radio. Great job and good luck.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.